Well, if you brought a Bible today, go ahead and take it out. I had a few thoughts I wanted to share on being a parent. And we talk about a lot of things that are sort of a given to us about children being a stewardship from God. In other words, what a stewardship means is just that there's someone else that owns something. And that someone that owns something, he lets you take care of it for a while. That's what it means as a stewardship. He entrusts those things into your care to care for them, to use them the way that he has directed you to use them. And so in that sense, where children are a stewardship, is that this is God entrusting children into your care for you to raise them the way that he desires you to raise them. And so it's very important. And, you know, this world that we live in, that idea is just lost. It's just not really, it's kind of a weird thing, the way that people, how they approach parenting and children. And Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are a heritage. In other words, it's something that God gives you that passes to you. It's His gift to you. And it's a blessing from Him. It's a reward from Him. Ephesians 6 is kind of what I wanted to look at tonight as we think about these things. If you have your Bible, turn over there. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And we won't unpack the whole thing, but just to kind of think on some of these principles tonight on what God's design is for families. I'll read it here, and then I have some other thoughts to share, and then we'll kind of jump into this Ephesians 6 passage. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Keep these things in mind." We'll come back to these. "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That's really God's design right there for parenting in general. Bringing the children up to know God and to be able to follow Him and to know how to please Him. It's our responsibility. Our children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a gift from Him. And just like any owner of things, He wants us to do what He wants us to do with them and not just to do what we want to do with them. Now, notice as we talk about parenting, you know, if we would just disconnect sort of this whole, you know, it's a joyous night. Both of these families love Jesus. They're, you know, I have every confidence that they are going to live in a home that wants to make Christ number one. They are raising their children to know the Lord. They are trying to live out biblical principles. But when we look out at the world today, when the world that we live in, right, we're smack dab in the middle of it, it's kind of a mess, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of a mess as far as kids. Kids are running wild. Parents are absent. Right? You know, my whole life, I don't think my parents knew where I was 10 minutes out of the day, almost every day. Right? And none of my friends either. Right? They certainly did not raise me in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Wasn't even mentioned in our house. And that's common today. And how many kids do you personally know whose home is broken? I bet there's a lot. How many kids do you know that are in hardship and fear? I counseled a junior high camp last year, and I haven't counseled this year yet. We're doing senior high in 2 weeks. And Jacob and I went up, and our cabin, I say this with love, our cabin was so messed up that Jacob was like my assistant counselor that week. He went to camp. But we had one kid who had never met his father. One kid whose father was in jail, another kid whose father was sick in the hospital because he wasn't taking care of himself and his body was breaking. He was like 35 years old. Another kid with a parent using drugs. Another kid with his parents fought all the time. I mean, it just in our little tiny world of a cabin at camp, every kid in there had a broken home except Jacob. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? This is the world that we live in, where parenting is not the way God wants it. The world is upside down. And then you look at a verse like this, Ephesians passage, that says, "Honor your father and mother as the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land." So much is at stake here. So much is at stake. These are people, these are precious little ones with an entire life ahead of them. You know, when we're old and we're messing our life up, there ain't that much to waste, right? I mean, it's over. This doesn't make it okay, but boy, you got your whole life ahead of you. There's so much at stake. So it's important for us as we think about children to raise them in a way that is helpful to them, helps them to understand life, to put life together in a way that they can do well. Look at a few of these verses with me. Proverbs 13:15. I'm going to go a little bit quickly. That's just you can listen if you'd like to. Proverbs 13:15 says, good sense wins favor. So this is just saying, look at what's at stake here. But the way of the treacherous is their ruin. And I'm not trying to take someone's personal responsibility for their actions off of them. That's not the point. But how many people today are ruining their lives and living a terrible life mostly based on the fact that that's the way they were raised? They weren't raised. They didn't have a chance. You know, this is one of the reasons that we as a church need to have some compassion on people. You know, and people are out there and we want to look down our nose and point our finger at how nasty they are. We don't even know their story. Maybe their whole life they've just been treated terribly and lived a truck wreck of a life and they're just living that out. They just need someone to come in and love them and help them to see the right way. A lot is at stake. The way of the treacherous is their ruin. Well, your kids, you want your kids, their life to be a ruin? I know you don't. Psalm 32:10. Many sorrows are of the wicked. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts the Lord. Two paths in life. One of many sorrows and one of steadfast love. Boy, when the psalmist breaks it down for us like that, it seems like a simple choice, doesn't it? You can face many sorrows or you can just have the steadfast love of the Lord in your life. So there's a lot at stake as we think about parenting and as we getting children on the right path. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. See, God's blessing is on a person who follows the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. There's blessing involved in following the Lord. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in seasons. Leaf doesn't wither. All that he does prospers. But the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, he will reap. When you have this precious little child, like these babies, and you're holding him in your hand, they are like, to me anyway, I don't know if it's perfect, but they're like a ball of potential. They've got their whole life in front of them. And they're really an open slate. They're just there. They could be abused, used, hurt, and led down a path that is going to be their ruin. Or they could be loved, cherished, nurtured, and taught, and led, and at least have the chance to follow the Lord and experience His blessing. A lot is at stake. Much is at stake. Now, the call in Ephesians 6 is discipleship, what we call discipleship, making a follower of Jesus Christ. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Making a disciple. That's really all parenting is, making a follower. And can I say, I mean, we do a lot of biblical counseling here, and can I just say to you tonight, you're making disciples. If you're a parent, you're making a disciple. If you're alive, you're probably making a disciple of some kind. But the question is, are you making a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you teaching people to follow Him? Even so much of this idea of discipleship, of making a follower of Jesus Christ, is based on just the way that you live out your faith in Christ. And if you're not living that out, kids, they learn what you're living out more than what you say. Well, you need to do this and you need to do that. You know, it hurts my brain sometimes when I hear like a father say, don't smoke, it's bad for you, while he's smoking. What's the kid to hear? You know, of course he's not going to listen to that. That's crazy. It's hypocrisy. Well, it's the same way in anything in life. You know, if you're telling your kids to be kind to each other, but you're a ball of rage, and then your kids are angry, well, I'm not surprised. You see, you're creating a follower. You're making a disciple. You're training them. You just don't think you are. Well, I told them to be nice. That's not what they learned, right? They learned how you are, how you act, how you respond. There's a lot of commands to in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4, 6, 11, to train up your children to follow the Lord. Judges, in Judges it talks about people following their own dictates of their heart. They didn't follow the Lord. They followed what they wanted to do. And the nation of Israel, they eventually turned to idols and things. Why was that? It was because they were not leading their children to know the Lord. And it's the same for us today. It's the reason that it's really, you know, we can blame if you're angry about where things are going, we can blame it on everybody. You know, blame it on our leaders, blame it on the media, that evil media. But really, it boils down to parents teaching their kids what's right, what's wrong in parenting. And no government can change that. No way. This is our mandate from God. Now, notice a few things here with me in Ephesians 6. This is where we're just going to kind of take a look at this passage a little bit, and this is where we get the sort of model for what God wants us to do. First place I would look is 6:1, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, what in the world do parents need to hear about that for? It says, children, obey your parents. Let's just ask a question tonight. And think about it. Do your kids get that without you teaching them about it? You know, do the kids just come out and they're like, you know, the first thing I need to do, I need to know, I need to obey my parents. No way, right? Children obey your parents is really talking about you teaching your children that they need to obey you. Now, you're out there in the world today, and you're looking at what people tell you about parenting, and they're going to tell you all kinds of crazy things. Most of the time, they're not going to tell you that you are an authority from God in their life. This is what it is, and it is right for your children to obey you. How many parents today think that they want to be some kid's friend, right? And, you know, Lori met someone this week who they argue with their parents all the time. They said, well, what do you do? Well, they just change their mind after I argue. That's terrible for that kid. Those parents don't love that child. Ooh, that's harsh. Right? That's a little harsh, but it's what the Bible says. They didn't invest the energy to disciple that child and make them obey. Children, it's right. See, listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. You see? It's right for you to be the authority in their life, and they need to obey you. Because children, sweet as they are, now those little babies are pretty sweet, right? But as sweet as they are, they're sinners. They're sinners. They're sweet, precious little sinners, aren't they? And they're going to sin. And they're not going to want to obey pretty soon, right? Isn't that true? Do you want to obey all the time? No, I don't either. And neither are those little babies. And so it's a loving thing for a parent to help the child do what is right, and so that it can go well with them, so that they can learn. And you know what? When your kids get out into society, when they turn of the age where they need to start working and they need to start going and driving and doing all this, they're going to have to obey some authorities. And if you've taught them their whole life that you can do whatever you want to as far as authority is concerned, my oh my, they're going to struggle. They're going to have problems. Because guess what? It is not okay, is it? Right? Cop pulls you over, you're going 95 miles an hour, you say, well, I just wanted to go 95 miles an hour. That's nice. Here's your ticket. Right? So it's not okay not to obey authority. It's right, and it's good for them. And another reason that it's good for them is because kids don't know. You know, they don't have your experience. They don't know what they need to do and why and how and everything. And you need to minister to them and help them understand that. And again, doesn't it all go back to your attitude? You know, if you're training them to follow the Lord and they disobey, you can lovingly admonish them. If you're wanting your way and you're just my way or the highway, well, that's not discipleship at all. You see, it goes back to your attitude. But it is right for children to obey their authorities, their parents, their ultimate authority, God. Obey your father, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, verse 2. This is the first commandment of the promise taken from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments. And in verse 4, so you teach them that. Teach them to honor their parents, not to, you know, dishonor them or to be foul to them. Verse 4, do not teach them about Jesus. Bring them up, the second half of verse 4, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is just a key principle. I'm not going to go into it a whole lot tonight just for sake of time, but parenting, and just really be challenged tonight to kind of set your mind on this wherever you're at in life. Parenting is never about your comfort. I wonder if we would be honest with each other, we would think about our parenting efforts throughout the years, how we would have to confess how often our parenting was about our comfort. You just need to obey the first time. The Bible tells you to. But really what's going on in your heart is, I'm trying to watch the ball game here. Right? And you're not seeing an opportunity to instruct a dear little one on their sin and their separation from the Lord and their need to grow and change. Because it takes energy, doesn't it? And sometimes they don't want to hear it. And they're fighting and bucking against you. And you have to stop and set aside your schedule and love them and invest in them. You see, parenting is about a relationship where you are teaching that dear person that you've been entrusted with to follow Jesus. And that takes effort. Big time, doesn't it? That would be an amen time. Yes, it takes effort. You have to be involved and engaged. And you have to set aside your goals and desires for the day or the moment or whatever. And when you're exhausted and you come home and your kids are acting up, it's an opportunity to love them, to invest in them. A lot of times that's all they really want is a little attention, you know. And sometimes that's why they act out like that. You teach the kids, though, about that their issue is not an issue just with you, but it's about God. It's about obeying God, about following Him. And so you keep those issues simple about, along the lines of what has God said. You teach your kids how to deal with sin. And that is by God's grace that Christ has died for every sin. He's paid for their sin. Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? It's because your kids are like they are. And they need to know that. How many people in this world know that? Your kids need to know that. There's an answer for every sin. That's Jesus has paid for those. They need to know that sin has consequences. There are effects of it, and it's a terrible thing. And they need to know that God's grace is utterly and totally sufficient. And that you forgive them. You love them. You restore them when they have sinned. That's what discipleship really is. Now, notice this with me here. Bring them up in the training. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This tells us as parents that our lives need to be genuine. You see, again, as I said, you're making a follower. Where are you going? Are you following Jesus? There's all kinds of proverbs and things about some of these issues that are mentioned here. Look at Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with a man given to anger. Don't go anywhere with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Think about that. That's just one of many. There's no way that you're going to be able to train these kids. You know, Ephesians 6 says, fathers, don't, 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Why does he single that out? You see, as you make disciples, it's all going to be about what your relationship is like with Jesus Christ as you're parenting. You know, if you get to the point in your life where you're, you know, it's not universal. I've known some people that love the Lord and have done everything that they're supposed to, and sometimes the kids rebel. It just happens. But you have to at least be honest with yourself. If your kids are being rebels, take a look at your home. Take a look at your own heart and think about it a little bit. Pray about it. Ask someone about it. You know, and certainly if your kids are angry, oh my, do some internal looking. Find out. See if they're learning from their disciple maker. It's called a discipleship. Don't stir them up to wrath. Notice this is what it says also. but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I keep saying that word, it's stuck in my head. I think of parenting as a sliding scale. This is what God's will would be for us. And there's a lot of different thought out there. I would say the general thought in the world is, you got these kids, there's nothing you can do with them. You got these ages, this is when they're going to do what they're going to do. Try to manipulate them as well as you can to get a little bit of comfort in your house, and hopefully you'll make it out the other side alive. That's kind of the world's psychology to you today. And then in the church, a lot of times, we've lived out, I don't know if it's taught so much, maybe a little bit, but we've lived it out often, because I meet a lot of these people, where what you need to do is you need to screw the screws down. Okay, you get these kids, you put them in a box, and you screw the screws down. And whatever means you need to use to make them obey, you better do it. Because these are a bunch of rebels. Keep them in line, especially at church. Right? Okay? You know what happens here? You're over here, they've never learned anything. And so they just do whatever they follow the dictates of their heart. And that leads them into all the stuff that you see in the world. Over here, though, what you got is you got someone stifled their whole life. And all of a sudden, they're out on their own. They don't even know how to pay a bill. You know, I have literal people that I've met like this, 20-some years old. They don't even know how to live because they've just been clamped down their whole life and kept in a cave. Don't do it. Don't. Stop it. Quit it. What are you doing? No. Their whole life. But what God says is to bring them up. And so what you do is you have a little one. Now you keep the clamps on them. They don't know how to make their own decisions, and they shouldn't. But when they're 5, you let them choose peas or green beans, right? When they're 10, you let them choose what they're going to wear sometimes, you know? When they're a teenager, you let them make more and more decisions. You need to learn, you need to teach them to be able to make good decisions. So that when they get to 18, it's already been a time in their life where they've learned that their decisions matter, they need to please God, they need to live for God, and you've taught them how to make good decisions. Because the day is coming when they're gone, right? And so you're supposed to be all along investing in them, training. So it's like a sliding scale to me where you give them more and more freedom. That's scary sometimes as a parent, right? The clamp thing is a little more secure, right? Right? At least I know where they're at. But I got the chain on their leg in their bedroom. They're not going anywhere until they find a key, which happens sometimes, right? But what God's will would be is for you to be scared and to train them and to trust Him with them. And to love them and to let them have more and more freedom. Bring them up. It's a sliding scale where you're teaching them to think on their own, to become more and more their own, make their own decisions and things. Some common sinful mistakes are mentioned in this passage, and he calls it provoking to anger. I'll just list a few here tonight. Foolish or unbiblical rules that are unnecessary will provoke kids to anger. And these are just a few suggestions. I mean, there's a lot of things. Unbiblical, foolish and unbiblical rules. You just need to do it because I say you need to. And there's no reason. Right? You become Dr. No. This is one word my wife hates, but I can't think of anything else right now. Nebulous or uncertain rules. You know what a nebula is? Space gas. You can't put your finger on it. You know? So one day it's okay, one day it's not okay. That'll drive you crazy. Won't it? I mean, can you imagine going to work like that? Here's what I want you to do today. Then you go back the next day and you do it. And the boss is like, what are you doing, you idiot? You told me to do it yesterday. Well, that's not okay. See, nebulous or uncertain rules. Well, it was okay yesterday. Why is it not okay today? That makes kids, drives them to wrath all the time. Uncertain expectations. Maybe a kid would be made to feel like they're never good enough. I bet you some of us in this room have had that. Parents, your parents never acted like you were good enough. That's tough. That'll stir you up to wrath all the time. Changing rules midstream. You know, if you're parenting and then all of a sudden you find something that you don't like and so you enforce discipline when you haven't even really made that rule clear because you didn't like it. Changing rules midstream. Bottom lining, not listening. That doesn't even work any time in life. Why would it work with kids? Just bottom lining it. I say so. Shut up. Not even listening or getting input from the child. You know, if it's a relationship, then they need to be able to give you some input, right? It's a give and take. You're helping them think through things. You're not just telling them this is my way or the highway and bottom lining it to them. This is just a few things. Being graceless. Being graceless. I am amazed, personally, So it's worth what you paid for it. But I am amazed at the amount that adults love to talk about the grace of God and hate to dole out the grace of God to kids. It just blows my mind. No, it's graceless. Never good enough. Never an answer that's right. Never willing to work with a person and realizing that they're a sinner and they need some grace. That's harsh. That stirs you up to wrath every time. Man, you imagine if God dealt with you like that? If God was graceless with you? You couldn't live. And yet we expect our kids to live in those environments and not be stirred up to wrath. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Much is at stake. Rather, bring them up, you know, help them to know and follow Jesus. And don't just beat them down and discourage them. A common mistake is forgetting the goal of discipleship and making obedient children your number one goal. That's really common. These children better obey. And can I say to you tonight that a lot of times that's just rooted in pride. I want to look good. I want people to see how good my kids are. And can we just as a church be honest that we're sinful? We're sinners. And that when our kids sin, not that it's okay in the sense that la-di-da, we don't care, but it's normal, right? We deal with it. We talk about it. We work through it. We don't freak out and make it you made me look bad today, and how dare you, and you can't be doing that in church. Now everyone thinks I'm the... Let's just be honest about it. Obedient children is not the goal. If it is, that's a terrible goal. The goal is to help them know Christ and to see their need for Him in every situation in life. And you forget the goal, and that's going to cost a lot of problems. It takes so much work and everything. Another common mistake is making discipline punitive. You know, this is the way my parents did. You're punished. You're going to get punished for that. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to chew on that statement a little bit. You need punished. You have a theological problem with that tonight? Did not Jesus Christ die for every sin? Isn't the day of judgment future? And didn't God say, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord? When in the world did we get in our twisted minds that we are the meters out of punishment? That's not biblical. Discipline is corrective. It's out of love. It's not to mete out punishment. God can take care of that. Discipline is to help someone see their need for change. That's why the consequences come in. People need corrected. They need moved in the right direction. Sometimes kids need a paddle on the butt to get their attention, to move them in that direction. But your goal is not to make them pay for their crime. It's to get their attention, to help them see that they need to change, that they need that what they're doing is not okay, and it's harmful for them, it hurts them. How much pain has been caused in this world by punitive discipline? Punitive, just punishing kids. And there's no call for it, no mandate for it. It's not right. It's forgetting the cross. It's forgetting the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for every sin. And just think about in a young heart what goes on when they have to pay for their sins every time they're wrong. When God is wanting you to tell them that Christ has already paid for their sins. You see? Wow, that's huge, isn't it? It's harsh. Lastly, and just closing on this passage here and some practical things, how to teach your kids. Parenting must be about heart change. And maybe that's even difficult for you to put together tonight. That's okay. But just hear me. Your goal needs to be, and maybe you need to grow in this yourself and learn about your own life tonight, but whatever. Your goal needs to be to find out and address the heart motives that are driving the behavior that comes out. And really, just hear it tonight, wherever you're at in life, that to parent for external change will not help children. You just need to be better. You just need to do better. You just need to look better. And those are the people that I meet 20 years later with all kinds of problems in their life. We call it legalism, rightly. What God is concerned about is the inner person, and that's what you as a parent needs to be concerned about, the inner person. So conversations with your kids like, why did you do that? Why did you want that? Why was that so important to you? What kind of motivating desires drove you down that path to try to get what you wanted that caused this behavior? You know, when you lashed out and you called your mother all those horrible names that were so hurtful, what were you hoping to achieve by that? What was your goal? What were you wanting to get? And again, it takes time and effort and relationship, doesn't it, to work through those kind of things. But you need to do that as a parent. You need to work through the heart issue so that the kids can see that there's something motivating what they do. Why do we do what we do? We want what we want. And if your children don't know that, they're going to struggle in life. They're going to be like everyone else trying to sort out how to live in this life, and they're not going to have a lot of success. Their problem is not just about what they've done, but their problem has a name, and it's the living God. There's a heart issue. They've become idolaters, and they've sinned against the living God, and they need to understand that. And that's the only thing that's going to cause real change in a kid's life, any person's life, really. Let's just read that passage again together. I think it's just a rich passage for us tonight. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is your goal as parents. Help your kids to know the Lord and to obey Him. To obey, and it's right for them to obey you as God's steward. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. There's much at stake. Verse 4, don't make the common mistakes of our world today. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But instead, exchange your comfort, your wanting to do what you want to do and getting your goals, exchange that for God's goal and make disciples. But bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Lead them to know Him. Take this dear gift that God has entrusted you with, parents. Invest in them. See this as the biggest thing of your life. The sweetest thing that you could have. An opportunity to make disciples right where you live. You don't even have to go out and knock on anyone's door to make a disciple. Maybe a bedroom door. Hey, let me know. You're right in your own home. Isn't that awesome? The deacons that are serving tonight, I'd like you to go ahead and come forward now. Talked a lot tonight about making disciples of Jesus Christ, about leading kids to heart change, about the problems in our world. My, there are many. None of that makes any difference, though, without remembering the cross. That's why we are instructed by our Lord and loved to, as a church, come together regularly to remember that Christ has died for us. It's freed us. Those of us that know Him as Savior, have placed our trust and faith in His work on the cross of Calvary, are free from the penalty of sin. Stunning. So what we're about to do tonight is just to remember His sacrifice on our behalf. And if you're not a member here, that's okay. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we invite you to join with us just as part of the body of Christ and remember the Lord's Supper with us. If you're not sure about it, you may want to abstain. That's up to you. That's okay. You know, if you want to pass, that's fine. Just let the deacons know as they serve. No one will think any less of you. That's fine. Let's pray together, and then we'll have... Ashley's playing. Let's pray together, and then we'll have the guys serve us, and we'll read a few passages here that the Lord entrusted with us when He was about to go to the cross. Let's pray together. Lord, it is a joy to have children and to have a family, and it's a blessing. And we're so, those of us that have been able to be blessed by You with children, we're so thankful. And God, it's just a joy to be able to live together and to learn together and to grow together and to serve you together. And certainly we confess, and you know already, there's challenges. The kids live with sinful parents and the parents live with sinful kids, and there's things that need to be talked about and dealt with. But your way, God, is good and right. And we are blessed and thankful that when we live your way, life goes much better and smoother. We just pray for help in our weakness, and especially for the two families that have babies here tonight that have committed together to raise them in a way that pleases you. God, they need your help, and they need strength from you and your Spirit to work in their family, God. God, bless them and help them and lead them. And God, may their home be a place of joy. And even now, as we remember Jesus Christ in the cross, may that be the often conversation of their home as sin is dealt with, that your grace would be put on display for all to discuss and see, and that sinful anger would not rear its ugly head there, but rather loving discipleship would take place in those times. That they, as that Shannon and Bob and Nate and Ashley, as they parent, would be quick to confess their own sin, even to their children, and to ask for forgiveness because they're sinners too, and they need forgiveness as well. And that their home would be just this place of your grace, God, because they together live in light of what we're about to remember, that Christ has died for our sins. That, God, we can stand forgiven before you because of his wonderful sacrifice on our behalf. And God, we do thank you that you were pleased to shed his blood for our sin, that he could become the substitute sacrifice for us. We were undeserving, and we yet are. But God, in your gracious love, you have given us your only Son. And God, in his name we thank you. Amen.